Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Today we move into the third part of a three-Sunday series called Story. The very first Sunday, Luke spoke and we talked about faith. We had Ken and Eunice Gallardi with us who were a part of that small church in the front, and they were part of the decision that built this church, and we talked a lot about the importance of faith amongst us, that we would, as a people, rise up in faith, understanding that God was not done with this church. He almost closed it down twice, or not he didn't, we did, the people, but God had another plan, and that plan, I believe, is unfolding before us today, but it was all about and continues to be about faith. Last week, I talked about life or life together. What does that look like for us as a community? And one of the things I talked about is that we find our way forward for today and for tomorrow by following seven biblical values that really kind of, I say, are primary crafters of what we look like and how we proceed. And so today what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about purpose and I'm going to talk about our future. But let me just talk a little bit about what we talked about last week, which was how we do life together. I talked about four of those values that we have. And I'm just going to quickly run over some of the things that we talked about because they're important for us to get. And if you're new here today, maybe for the first time, these values are important for you to know about. The first value that we talked about was community. And that is really that concept that we are here brought together by the Lord to do life together. I absolutely believe that you are here because God has you here. You somehow answered an invitation by the Lord through His Spirit to come to be here, to be a part of this house, for however long that is, but I believe there was an invitation there. We are a very diverse group. There is no question about that. But the common theme, the common thread for all of us here, that thing that brings us together, which is actually supernatural, is the fact that we are part of the body of Christ, meaning we are believers in Jesus, and what makes it supernatural is that Jesus is at the head of that body. And He is the one that we follow, and He's the one that changes our lives. We talked last week under the banner of community that in this house, we believe that we walk best together when we are unified in spirit and in heart. Unity is key for us. And so what I've said before, and I will continue to say, because I'm going to repeat it again today as I said it last week, in this house, there is no room for church politics. In this house, there is no room for divisive thought or spirit that is going to derail us or detract from the things that God calls us to. We're not about power plays here. We're not about position and hierarchy and all of that kind of stuff. That's not what we're about. Gossip is not welcome in this house. These are the things that kill unity. These are the things that break community. So we don't want to have any part of them. They are not welcome in this house. Being together, being community together is vital to who we are, being connected. It is biblical, it is scriptural, it is the way that we are to do life. And so we do that here. We see each other on Sundays through our gatherings here, but also through our life groups. And that's how we do community. We care for one another through community. We're there for one another through community. Authenticity we talked about as well. And, you know, our desire is to be real. We say we want to be the real meal deal. And that's absolutely true. This house is not about playing church. You know, we don't want to just sort of show up and do the churchy thing and go home and think, well, that was fun being churchy today and then go on living life that's not churchy. That makes no sense at all. Jesus opposes hypocrisy. And so do we. We don't want to be involved in any hypocrisy in our lives or in the life of the community. We come here also as we are, just the way we are. There is no desire here to have us put on false fronts and look good for somebody. Like, that makes no sense at all. We just come the way that we are. And if we come broken, we come broken. If we come well, we come well. But we just come. But we come as we are. No false fronts. No fakeness about us. See, when we're real with God and when we're real with others, amazing things can happen in our lives, actually, because we understand each other. There's truth about that, and we can really help each other out. That's why authenticity is so important for us. We also talked last Sunday about another value called generosity, and I just mentioned that earlier today. Jesus was generous, and so too are we to be a generous people. In fact, we are to be a reflection of the generosity of Jesus in the world around us, in this culture that is around us. There is a reason that we have what we have. God has blessed us not to hold on to it, but to give it away, to give it away. I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking also about our time and our talents and our gifts, and I'm going to talk about that a little later on. We did talk about finances last week, and I talked about the fact that as a community who wants to be who we say we are, we practice generosity specifically and intentionally so that we can be generous to those around us. We just talked about an opportunity where we can be generous in terms of the situation that's happening in Syria and around the Middle East. We can do that. We're going to be specific about doing that. We also are specific about setting aside funds to give to others that we believe Jesus would cheer on. And so last Sunday, I talked about the fact that checks went out valued at $40,000 last week to 7 different groups in this community because we believe in the soil that they have. We believe that good things are being produced through what they do. It's about generosity. Generosity is key for us. We're called to be a generous people. And when we are generous, man, oh man, things change. And the house changes. And what God allows us to do changes. As I said last week, we cannot outgive God. We can't do it. We can't do it. The final thing we talked about, which is really central to everything, really, was worship. We, you and I, are made in God's image and with this natural desire within us to worship. It just is part of who we are. We're not forced to worship. God, allows us to make that choice. But when we move into authentic worship before the Lord, things really change for us. If we don't get this as a church, if we don't understand what worship is about as a church, the true sense of whole life worship, not just music worship, but whole life worship, if we don't get that as a church, the rest of what we do makes no sense. Because then we're just playing. So we need to have the heart of Christ within us. We need to understand who God is. He is sovereign. He is mighty. He is our awesome God. And it is for him we do all the things that we do. If we don't get that part right, then the rest of it doesn't really make a lot of sense. We need to know who we follow, and that is Jesus Christ. And we do what we do because of him, for who he is, and what he's done in our lives. Whole life worship. We also know that as we come to this house, we come with all sorts of pressures from all over the place, within our own cultures, sometimes within our own families, all of that stuff. And the enemy uses that to get in the way of our worship, our whole life worship. And so our mission here is to become unfettered worshipers of Jesus, clearing our lives of conflicting interests that would lead us away from our Savior. That's part of what we're called to do. Is just become true worshipers. The essence of true worship is that we become less and he becomes more. We become less and he becomes more. All right, well, let me move on to what we're going to talk about today, and that is our purpose. That is our purpose. So we've talked about faith, we've talked about life together, and now we're going to talk about our purpose. So that's our past. We talked last week about our present, and today we're talking about our future. Colossians 16 says this, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Pretty powerful stuff. So let's talk a little bit about what purpose looks like. Last week I talked about some things that we have in common here as a community. We have a common love amongst us. We love Jesus. And we love each other. We have a common respect for one another. We think the best of one another first. And I said we had a common pursuit, and that is to walk with Jesus and to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. And that really is what our purpose is about. It's important for us to know where we've come from. It's important to know where we are today, and it's also important to understand where we are going, which is the place that God calls us to, and that is our purpose. Here's the thing when we consider purpose. Our life has been given by God to us, and our primary purpose, now let's get this straight, is to live for God. That's our primary purpose. And our culture actually would try to convince us that it's not that way around, that really what this world is about and about life is about individual pleasure and individual happiness. But that's all messed up. That's not really what it's about. It's a mistaken notion. You see, life isn't all about us. Life is first about God. It's first about our relationship with Him and His plan and His purpose for us. That's what it's all about. And you know, that plan, our purpose, God really cares about it. He really does. And that was all laid out, I think, beautifully in Psalm 139. It says this in part. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every day, He didn't miss one. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Does that not speak of the purpose of God in our lives? He knows about every moment, past, present, and future. See, we are not our own. We never were just our own. We are, in fact, God's sons and daughters. We're God's sons and daughters. We were created for Him. We were created to be in His family. And as I said earlier, in love, he doesn't make us have to follow His path. That wouldn't be love. And so He gives us choice. We can choose. We can choose to be in His family or outside of His family. There's nothing in between. We can choose to be in or out. Our choice is to be in. Our choice as Christians is to be in. And like any good father, we know this, that He has hopes and He has plans for each one of us. I just talked about that in Psalm 139. See, it's in following Him that we find our true identity, our true identity. So we are made in the image of Christ, and we find our purpose. It's in God that we find those things, not in the world, not in, you know, what somebody else has to say on television, some talk show host. It's not about that. That's not where we find our purpose. That's not where we find our identity. We find our true identity in God, our Maker. That's where we find it. Many of us have discovered along the way in our lives that life without purpose is life without meaning. Really, in the end, it's empty. Walking in the greater purposes of God is ultimately what gives us fulfillment, real fulfillment, not just temporary things. It's because those purposes that God has for us are eternal in nature. They're eternal in nature, and they reflect the nature of life that goes on well beyond our time here on earth. Because we're eternal citizens, and our purpose isn't just about today. It is also about tomorrow and our eternity with Christ. So I'm going to talk about our three remaining values, and I'm going to talk about how our purposes are seen through these three remaining values. The first one is spiritual formation. So there is this purpose for us to be growing more like Jesus. That's one of the reasons that we're here. The second one is recognizing and releasing, using the gifts that we have been given, each of us, to walk in the purpose that God has for us. And then the Great Commission, our responsibility to impact a lost world for Jesus Christ. So let me just work through those in the remaining time today. The value of spiritual formation is on the screen above there. I'm not going to read everything that's there, but you need to know it's also on our website, and it's going to be on our notes as well. Part of that value says that we are a people who journey to be more like Jesus. We need to understand this. We are disciples of Jesus. That means that we're followers of Jesus. We are learners of Jesus. And the life of a disciple is, get this, a full-time orientation. It's a full-time orientation. We don't just become part Jesus followers, you know, on Sunday and maybe on Wednesday when we do life group. This is about our whole lives. And when we give our lives to Jesus, it's like we become these full-time students, really. And we actually become, as disciples, full-time lifelong learners, because we're always learning. None of us have got this figured out yet. And none of us will, ultimately, until we are with Jesus. So this is about growing as best we can to be like Jesus and to live as Jesus did, to live a God-honoring life. That's what spiritual formation really is all about. And you know, by its nature, the life of a disciple is not static. It's not about standing still. That's why we need to be lifelong learners. It's about moving forward. We all should be moving forward, not stuck in a spot. And if we are stuck, we need to seek the Lord to help us move us forward. And sometimes, yeah, there are little steps that we take, and sometimes there are larger steps, but God is with us. And he's with us along the journey and desires to take us there, but we just need to be moving forward. If you look around you, you know that we are a very diverse household. I love that about us. All of us are at different places along the road in our relationship with Jesus. We've got some who are just for the first time considering who Jesus is, wondering about him. We had a couple of people just last week saying that, you know, I don't know who Jesus is, just interested in learning more. Fantastic. I love that. And some of you were born in a pew. Really, been around for a long, long time. And we've got everything else that's in between. Everything else that's in between. And I love that. In fact, what we do is we celebrate the fact that we are all together on the same road. See, we're going in the same direction, this way, towards Jesus. That's what spiritual formation is all about. And get this, this journey that we have, it's not a competition. It's not about who's going to get to where first. It's not about that. It's not about who's been around longer in a spiritual life and who's wiser or the heavier weight, all of that kind of stuff. It's not that at all. We're all equal. We're all in the same road together. And we cheer each other on. Come on. This is an exciting journey of life. It's one that we are called to be on. And so we just cheer on those who are with us on that journey. And as different as we are in our place on the journey, we're also different, in fact, in our Christian experiences. We really are. We are an eclectic group, you and I. We come from a variety of Christian expressions. Oh, my goodness. There is diversity amongst us, but I think that diversity that is amongst us in terms of Christian experience is valuable for us. You see, we can learn from each other. I love the fact that we can talk about stuff and learn from each other. That is so good. And you know, we might have some theological differences. Of course, those things are going to be happening and all of that, but that's okay. The critical essence of our unity is this. Now, hear me. We major on the majors. We don't major on the minors. We major on the majors. We don't major on the minors. In other words, we believe in God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit who resides in every believer. We believe in that. We believe Jesus was crucified, taking on our sins on the cross, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And today he sits in the right hand of the Father in heaven. We believe that. We get that. Those are the major things that we believe. We believe in the whole Bible. We believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's true, and it provides the basis for us and how we live our lives. We believe all of that stuff. Majors. And are there differences in our minors? Oh, of course there is. But it's in those differences that we learn from each other. We really do. We learn from each other. And when necessary, for the sake of unity and good life together, sometimes we're just going to go, you know what? We're just going to agree to disagree. And that's okay. That's just part of family life, is it not? So we're family together in Jesus, figuring things out. Well, as I said last week, by denomination, our tribe is Pentecostal. And you need to know that. We believe in the empowering of the Holy Spirit for the work ahead of us. We believe, as I said last week, that the gifts that are present in the New Testament church are for today. That's healing and prophecy and spiritual language and words of wisdom and all of those kinds of things. So you just need to know we're a Pentecostal church. If you have any questions about that or you want to read more about our essential beliefs and all of those kinds of things, they're all available on the website. And if you are a part of our family here, if you want to be a part of Living Waters, I think you should read them. I think it's just an important, you understand where we're coming from. So no matter where it is that you are on the journey, one of the things that we are absolutely committed to here at Living Waters is helping you grow. And so you may or may not have seen this, but this really is kind of a picture. It's a little blurry, actually. It's a picture of our journey ahead. This was actually developed here at Living Waters. And so it's about moving forward, just as I talked about. We begin with exploring Christianity. We talk about a transforming disciple, a maturing disciple, and a leading disciple. In each one of those areas, there are a number of things that we do to help people to explore and to grow. We have classes that we offer along the way. We've got courses, men's and women's retreats, all of those kinds of things. We want to help everybody move forward in their Christian walk and on their journey. And so it's important, I think, to be aware of that, and we're here to help. Let us know if we can help you with other things, but we're always looking at ways that we might be able to help us all become disciples. One of the primary places of learning, of course, is here at our gatherings, and it is through our times of teaching. And if you've been here for a while, you know that we love exegetical teaching. We've been going through Mark, Luke for, what, the last 2 years? And, it's true, actually. New people are going, ha ha, 2 years, you're kidding. No, I'm not. It's been an awesome journey. It's exegetical teaching. We're going verse by verse. Oh, it's been so rich. We start again this coming week. Sir Luke is going to be leading as we kick off. We're going to finish this off in the next few weeks. So we do that, but we also do messages that are topical and relevant for today. So we have this kind of mix that is there. In either case, we're committed to being biblical and Christ-centered, and we want to do all of that stuff. We determined long ago that we're not going to be pastor-centric, so we don't have sort of the lead pastor who is me doing all of the speaking or most of it. We just decided not to do that. Instead, what we have is we have a speaking team. So Luke is part of that team. Leanne McAllister is part of that team. Rick is part of that team as well, and myself. And so we just... We think that it's good to have a variety of expression and a variety of thought, and it's just it's really good. There's great diversity, I think, in terms of perspective and so on. We just gotta make sure that he just keeps on the right path. That's all. But it's all good. In spiritual formation, we're also gonna continue, and you just need to know this: we are committed to calling you and ourselves on in the things of Jesus. We're not going to shy away from a challenging. We're not going to shy away from the truth of the gospel. We believe that God has called us to grow well with him, and we will not shy away from that journey. And sometimes it's going to be a little hard, but we will be there. We will be there. Let me move on to recognizing and releasing. We understand this, that we have been designed to be together. We've been designed to be together, to love one another, to help one another, and to impact the world that is around us through who God has made us to be. And he's made us not as one, but as individuals that become one within the family. Listen, our purpose is only exercised when our gifts are utilized. And the Bible tells us that every single one of us has been given at least one gift. Every single believer, at least one gift. See, we are woven together by the Spirit of God. We're made stronger when we are together, serving one another through our gifts and reaching the world together. That's how God designed us to be. Everything that we need to be a healthy, vibrant, growing community is right here. Because that's how God designed his church. That's part of the supernatural nature of the church. And it's why we value the gifts that are here and why we are committed to seeing those gifts recognized, number one, and then released in the body of Christ. It's so important. You and I are made to use our gifts. We are made to speak life into the community. We're made to serve and love one another through the gifts that God has given us. So, we may talk to you from time to time about walking in your gift. Maybe we see something in you that you don't, and we say, wow, you ought to be doing this. We're going to give you opportunity to recognize what your gifts are. We have a course called Network, and it's an opportunity to find out what your spiritual gifts are. And once those are recognized, then we will work hard at releasing them within the body of Christ. It's very important that we do that. Listen, this is the hard note about this. When you hold back your gift, when you just show up and you don't commit to serve or to help, whether it's within these walls or outside of these walls, the body of Christ is negatively impacted. You just need to know that. Because we are made to work together. And so when a piece of us is not working, that affects everything. It really does. And that's part of the call that God is upon his church. That's why he's given each of us a gift, and he wants us to not only recognize that gift in ourselves, but to have that gift released amongst us. There is no such thing as I'm too old and tired, or I'm too young and stupid. Would be my case. There is no such thing as that. See, we all have gifts, and we'll all be at different points in releasing those gifts, but the thing is that they need to be released so the body can be healthy. It's absolutely essential that we do that. I should say sometimes that serving is not the easiest thing for us either. Sometimes we're not called, or we need to serve in other areas other than our gifting. That happens, right? Somebody has to make coffee. It may not be a spiritual gifting. Somebody has to, we had a young man come through and help us clean up through our gardens, you know? Some of that stuff is just plain serving. Some of it's just getting our hands dirty and doing that work. We need to do that too. So it's a full releasing, I think. And sometimes that gift is just a gift of serving. And I just talked to a young guy last week, and he said, you know, I just want to serve in any way I can. I thought, fantastic. The point is that we all need to do something. God is growing his church, and we need to serve the church. We need to help, not just with what's happening inside of these walls, but outside of them. So our purpose moving forward calls us to be spiritually forming believers who become believers who serve selflessly as we do our best to love others like Jesus. And that takes me to the last value I want to talk about, and that's the Great Commission value that we have. See, we form spiritually. We're given gifts to make a difference in the lives of others, those who are around us, so we can help to bring love and hope to a lost world. That is the call that is upon his church. That is the call that is upon us. It is our mission. It is our purpose in a nutshell. You can see that in the Great Commission. See, this Great Commission, you know, we're used to hearing it, but it brings great clarity, and it empowers our purpose because Jesus is in it. This is what it says, remember? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we learn from the last three verses of Matthew 28 that our Christian faith, again, is not to be centered on ourselves. It's not about us, but on God's assignment for all believers, and that is to share this incredible gift that he has given to us with others. It's not about holding on to that. It's about seeing it released to others, to selflessly, courageously announce and share the good news that has set us free. See, this is our purpose. This is our mission. This is what we are called to do, to see our world as God sees it. To see men and women and boys and girls around the globe and as close as our backyard who don't know Jesus, to see them and to know that without his redemption, they will perish eternally separated from God. That's the truth. So we need to see our world as God sees our world. We need to see the lost, and we need to do something about it. As long as there are people around us without Jesus in their story, our life together cannot be just about us. It has to be about others. So how do we walk that part of our purpose out? Well, we continue to support those who are walking within the Great Commission around the globe. We have 12 global workers that we support. They understand the Great Commission. They are in the trenches reaching people for Jesus all the time. We have five global partners who are amongst us here in this community, and we support them, encourage them with prayer and when we can financially, because they're out there doing the work as well. So we come alongside others who are walking out the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do. We commit generously to their work. In fact, this year we're raising $140,000 to help fund the work that they're doing. And so that's something that we need to do and continue to do absolutely. That we're committed to be world changers, and these are people who are in places that we can't be, but we're behind them and we're helping them. But we got to do something here too. At home, what do we do home? Well, here we walk out our lives as a people of invitation, friends. That's what we do. We walk out our lives as a people of invitation. We are to invite people into our lives. We're to form relationships with others, to care for others who are around us, and through that care, demonstrate the love of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. We're a people of invitation. We invite them into our lives. And as we're led, we invite people even closer, perhaps into our homes, into our activities, into our life groups. We have a rule here. None of our life groups can be closed. You can't close a life group. You can't say, well, this is as big as we can get. No more. Nobody else is welcome. That's not who we are. We just make that life group will become two or three or four in some cases. So there's a place of invite. We can bring somebody to a life group who perhaps wouldn't come here, but they would come to a life group because you will invite them. They will come to your home, and they will just, you don't, it's not about setting tracts out on all the plates for people. It's about having them with you and just letting them experience the love of Jesus. That's what it's about. And we can invite people to be a part of and explore our community here. You know, we can do that. We can invite somebody just to come, and I know many of you have done that. The other thing that we're doing as part of our purpose is that we're about planting other communities like this. 3 years ago, we planted City Lights in Burnaby, and of course, today our Willoughby campus is meeting as our latest opportunity to reach a neighborhood for Jesus. So it's not about keeping things here. It's not about these walls. It's about developing relationships with neighborhoods around us. You need to know that today the Willoughby campus, this is a great example of this, at 11:30 today are going to have a community barbecue. Come on. Do you know that last Sunday that campus, the 100 that were called to be there, what they did was they took 500 invitations and they delivered them door to door. I don't know, man, they're going to be, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I think it's very cool. See, it's about impacting a community. It's about loving people who are there. Are those, when people show up today, are they going to get preached at? No. Are they going to find relationship with people who actually care about them and their neighborhood? Yes. See, we will be a people of invitation. We will be a people of invitation. Listen, this is just the beginning. We want to talk about purpose and vision moving forward. God is building this church for a reason. His hand is upon Living Waters community. I've often said it, but our most important thing is just to get out of the way. Not to decide what God wants, but to allow God to speak to us and then move in faith in terms of what he wants us to do. That's why this church of 40 is now probably a church of over 1,000. That's why there's a Willoughby campus and there's a Burnaby campus. And that's why soon there will be other opportunities and expressions around in neighborhoods just like Willoughby. Because God is working in his church and he desires us to step out in faith in the Great Commission and touch those who are around us. Are you with me? Yes. I'm so pumped. Why don't you stand up? Let's pray. You know, this purpose is really the part of our story that runs ahead of us. It's a part of the story that requires great faith and this everyday commitment that you and I have to live lives for Jesus. There is much good that lies ahead for us. I absolutely believe that as together in love, in the bond of unity, we walk out this assignment that God has given us to be strong and to reach out to be a people of invitation. And we're not alone. We're not alone in this. Jesus said himself, and be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. It's our story. It's our story. And I'm thankful that you are a part of it. Father, we thank you for the story that you have created here. This is your story. It's not ours. We are thankful to be a part of it. God, would you continue to move within our spirits and call us on to greater things? God, fill us with a sense of your vision and purpose. Lord, give us a courageous faith to step out, courageous faith to reach those who do not know you, who are heading to an eternity separated from you if we don't reach them. Jesus, help us to do the things that you call us to do. We give you thanks, Lord, because you care about us and you care about where we're going. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.